Welcome to another episode of The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to The Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. And there we have it. Welcome to LinkedIn and welcome to a LinkedIn Live recording of The Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius. And today is a very, very special day in The Good Listening To Show clearing, where energetically the whole show is set. This is a brand, strand and founder story episode where we're going to find out the story behind the story of being Amar Muhammad Ibrahim, who is a client, actually. He works for PwC. He is the L&D lead, and also you are the program lead for Tamarkan, which is PwC's firm-wide national talent development program. I got very struck by your own sense of personal development as a journey. I know you're passionate about long-distance running. I know it's a really exciting story, the story behind your story, where you volunteered at the age of 21 to go and teach in India, very young children, which has then given you a laser focus, as you describe about yourself, to help anyone in any way that you can through learning and education. I'm just blowing a bit of happy smoke at you. And also, you've got a career-enhancing side hustle just getting going. And congratulations for about a week ago, you've done your inaugural episode of your own podcast, which is called L-Box. So there's lots to discuss. It's a privilege to have you here. First question for you, how's morale? What's your story of the day, Amar?
First of all, thank you for bringing me on board, Chris. It's a different situation. I've always been the kind of, even in the corporate context, the interviewer, and L-Box, I'm the host with my partner. So now it's a bit weird being on the other side. It's incredibly exciting. I definitely resonate and relate to what you're saying, especially, you know, the story behind the story. I think L-Box is definitely has a lot of commonality between that theme, because there's a lot to people beyond what you see on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and all of that. And so I'm excited. Although I did my homework, now I feel I didn't do any homework. But it's a pleasure being with you.
But one of your main cuts and thrusts of L-Box, which I think stands for Learning Box, you've not revealed that yet. But is that the case?
It's not Legend Box. It's not Lunch Box. It's the Learning Box.
And I know that you want to, it's about empowering lifelong learners, and you want to go beyond your LinkedIn title. So we are doing something quite resonant in that we're interested in helping people to amplify the story behind the story to get much more of what we want.
100%. Like the whole idea with L-Box is definitely to provide something valuable to anyone who's watching and or who's listening. It took us a while, and it's a journey, and it's a very exciting project. You would relate to it. With the Good Listening To Show, there's a lot of moving parts to it. But at the end of the day, the target is we really want to bring guests that are different, that people can learn from. People are more than their LinkedIn titles. People are more than changing companies, but you don't know what happened in the background. What's the reason behind it? And so at the end of the day, even our tagline is learning careers and more, because me and my partner, we have a background in learning and development. We've been colleagues previously. The main goal is to benefit everyone. Everything else is just a side bonus, honestly.
And it's lovely that it's by of its design, it's a collaboration, because obviously you're two friends who've decided to partner up and do it. And by all means, mention your wonderful partner in this collaboration.
Mr. Khaled Khafegan. He is a learning and development and organizational development professional by day. By night, he takes his two daughters to multiple volleyball trainings. I don't know how he does it. But he's got a lot going on his plate. It's incredibly exciting to work alongside him in this project.
And using the lovely metaphor of volleyball, I hope that LBOX is a complete slam dunk for you. It's all about storytelling. And of course, the LinkedIn profile headlines of themselves are possibly the most dull story we can all tell, because it's just arm's length and transactional. So I love the fact that, like me, you're on a bit of a cut and thrust to help the world tell clearer, better stories, one story at a time.
100%. I think you can relate to it when it comes to the area of learning. If I'm talking on the corporate side of things,
yeah,
there's a lot that can be done and there's a lot that needs improvement. And I think it's an incredibly exciting goal of continuous improvement. It doesn't end. And I think that's really important when you're setting your sight onto something big. So,
and I hope you really enjoy what I do too, which is the idea of coaching the story out of somebody by asking them, it's the power of the good question. So the clearing, which is where this is energetically set, is where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to get told. So it's a really sort of passionate epicenter to what we're about to curate you through. It's my great joy and privilege, Amar. Just before we got going, because I mean, it's really exciting. I'm talking to you from Bristol in the United Kingdom. You're speaking to me as I speak from Cairo. This wonderful idea of being global heads of ourselves and the sort of cultural norms of what we refer to ourselves as being. Obviously, I can see your name as Mahabind Ibrahim Amar. I asked you what all your friends call you, and just now you said, that's actually a bit of a secret. So do you want to say anything a bit more about that?
No, it's impossible. It's not going to come out. I don't know what was going on in my brain when I was, I was 11 years old and I just came back from Saudi to Egypt. I don't know what happened. It's just a name that came up then and it stuck with me. Like even my friends' moms, when we go and like for dinner or something, that's the name they call me by. It's not even weird anymore. I'm not going to say the name.
but what a teaser. You're not going to say it.
Yeah, maybe a cliffhanger, maybe at the end of our
chat.
We
need to get your friend's mum's show to reveal what Amar really known as, because it's obviously affectionate. They obviously hold you in great high regard and affection.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. Yeah.
So I love the fact that it's not strange anymore, but you're not going to tell us, and maybe you will at the end. So
we'll see.
It is my great delight and pleasure to curate you through this journey. You can go where you like, when you like, how you like, as deep as you like, amplify LBOX, Learning Box as much as you like. And also I'm intrigued to find out more about what you're up to in your mantle as PwC L&D lead as well. So it's going to be a clearing a tree, a lovely juicy storytelling exercise called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There'll be some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, a golden baton, and a cake. So it's all to play for. Yeah. It'll all become clear, but let's get you on the open road. First of all, energetically, where is your serious happy place, Amar? Where is your clearing? Where do you go to get clutter-free, inspirational, and able to think?
My place is quite tiring because my place is actually, I call it on the running track. Like I always go for a run when I want to think about something. Now, you said in the beginning, I'm passionate about long distance running. I'm not. It's a weird relationship, but running has definitely been a big part of shaping kind of my mindset, my stance towards certain things, because it's an annoying activity. You're staying for 2 hours, 90 minutes, 2.5 hours, just in constant motion. And that's not comfortable. So I'd say my go-to place would be running, LBOX, actually. The idea of it was going on a run, having that clear mind and thinking about it. And that's where it actually came and then it got built on. But the initial trigger was on a run. That's my clearing, like on a running track. And those like 10, 30 minutes after the run where you have all the endorphins and good feelings out and you're just clear.
I love the fact there's a sort of no pain, no gain dynamic to that. Also, it links to a lovely Nietzsche quote, the best ideas happen outdoors. And also, it's the action towards in life that always brings about change. So I completely get it. I'd be terrible at running. I've tried and I play tennis and do other stuff. And I ride is my equivalent. My bike is my freedom. But how often are you going running then? Are you doing it on the daily or are you doing it?
So actually, I became consistent with it since, let's say, Feb. And there's an interesting story behind it. Back in December, there's like an annual Pyramids half marathon that always happens. And in that half marathon, I wasn't prepared at all. I just got in, we're going to do it. We're going to run 21K. And that's not enough, apparently, when you run long distance. Passion is not enough and energy is not enough. And actually, I got beat in that race. There's an interesting dynamic in running. Everyone who's listening and running will get that, which is in a run, if it's a long run, there's like 5,000 people, you're not competing with anyone. Like you're mainly competing with yourself, but you're not competing with anyone. But then every once in a while, there comes a person where you just look at them. They're not even looking and like, I'm going to challenge you. You're next. And in that run, it was a girl, actually. She actually passed me in like kilometer number 15, 16. And she was like, come on, go on. And now, oh no, now it's on.
It's lock and engage.
Yeah, I wish I could have said that, you know, for the last, those last 6K, I beat her. But actually, kilometer number 17, I was gone. But that was like a trigger. I think running is just a big analogy, like an analogy on life, because you actually might have the ability. But if that ability is not backed up by preparation, it's not going to do you any good. And so I appreciate competition. I appreciate the fact that she looked at me and she said, come on, let's go. I admire that. Honestly, I admire the person that's competing with you in a healthy way. That's always a big thing.
This is such a lovely answer. I'm just loving the wisdom implicit in life, the race of life. We are not competing. It is all about our own journey, our own path.
100%.
I love the analogies of that.
Yeah, 100%. Like I've been to 4 half marathons. And I think with half marathon number 1, I just wanted to finish. And I was knackered after it. I was gone, like in pain for 3 days.
That's such a brilliant English word, knackered. You're fantastic.
I go into the dictionary every now and then. So, and then run number 2, I was like, I don't care what time I finish at, but I just don't want to feel horrible after the run, which I did. And then run number three, it was, let's just get a personal best. Or run number 4, let's just get a personal best. And so you're actually competing with yourself.
Yes.
And I think that's applicable to running as it is to life.
It's also really profound that we know this, comparison is the thief of happiness. So the fact that you know that you're just racing against yourself is a wonderful way to just wrap your life in a way that's calmer, kinder to yourself. So I hope that LBOX also becomes LifeBox, because there's something much more profound than just learning. LBOX is also LifeBox, the box in which we
100%.
Compete against ourselves. And the other question I have to ask you is, this person that you struck upon, are they still in your life, or are they just there as a symbol?
I don't know them. I have no idea who they are.
It's also the power of influence. I love the fact that person is forever going to be indelibly locked as a moment of transition and change for you.
Yeah. It's at the pyramid. So midway, you're actually running in a desert and there's no one around you. You can stop, you can do whatever it is. And so that's the beautiful thing about running. It's just you versus you, and you might be completely gone after 12K and you still have 9 more to go. And so, yeah, it's just been a learning journey. Honestly, since then, I've been running about 3-4 times per week with my coach. I've been learning a lot.
Does your coach run alongside you in that wonderful coaching way, or are they just watching and then giving you notes?
Yeah, so it's an online relationship type of thing, but he's definitely also a long distance runner. Shout out Coach Yahya. He's one of the top ranked in Egypt. He competes internationally as well. And yeah, I'm just learning loads from him. I've been perceiving it completely different, although I've been running for like 3-4 years. And so it's humbling, but it's needed.
I can't tell you how romantic it sounds from where I'm sitting in Bristol to hear someone saying, I ran the pyramid. What did you call it? Running in Cairo past the pyramids. It sounds just, I can run past the Clifton Suspension Bridge, which is nowhere near as iconic as the pyramids of Giza.
Yeah, it's surreal. And I think with people in life, you don't appreciate the value of something because it's always there. Like I live 10 minutes from the pyramids. I see them every day. There comes moment in the run where you're saying, wow, it's 7:30 a.m. There's 5,000 people, I don't know, 80 different countries. It's the pyramid half marathon. The side view is the 3 pyramids. It's something different.
You also sent me a wonderful photograph of you and Suleiman Jalal on horseback.
Yeah.
Clutching fists, two horses and the pyramids between you. It's two legends on horseback. Yeah. But it's just honestly, from where I'm sat, it's just a wonderful piece of imagery and a wonderful story that you're on the open road of. So thanks for that wonderfully eloquent, the analogies that keep on giving, wonderful description of running and why it's so important to you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet mixed with water and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home or on the go. clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives, just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Your clearing then is, let's go with, at some skate, running past the pyramids of Giza.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah.
In all my circa 200 episodes, no one's ever said that is their clearing, so it's very, very exciting. So now I'm going to arrive with a tree in your clearing, and then I'm going to shake your tree. It's a bit Waiting for Godot-esque, which is existential. I'm going to shake your tree to see which storytelling apples fall out, and this is where you've had 5 minutes to have thought about four things that have shaped you, Amar. Yep. We still need to get your nickname. Three things that inspire you. Two things that never fail to grab your attention. And have you seen the film Up as well?
Yep.
Which is where the dog goes, oh, squirrels. So what are your monsters of distraction? And then the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you. We couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us. So it's not a memory test. So over to you to shake the canopy. I did a bit of comedy. I fell off the table there.
Yeah.
Shake the canopy of your tree as you see fit.
Yeah, super. So, yeah, as I said, I did my homework. Kind of like till yesterday, I didn't have like input that I was convinced of. And so, you know what I did? I thought, let's go for a run and think about it. That's honestly what I did. Like I went for a run at like 10 p.m. because I had to. And then I just took the chance to just think about these kind of things. And so I just go, I'd say, from the most impactful to, I'm not going to go through it chronologically, rather the thing that sticks to me the most. Number one, by far, not even, there's no competition, India. Like the experience of going to India, leading to it, enduring it has been different. So I went there in 2017. And a year before, a year and a half before, I was like 19 still. I remember the scene. My parents were at the balcony and I told them, you know, there's an organization called ISEC. ISEC is an organization that deals with student exchange. And I've been a member in it. I've been facilitating that part. And I thought to myself, I either go up the ranks or I go to the other side and travel, be one of those exchange students. And so I just, option number two appealed more to me. We're now in April 2016. In July 2017, I want to go and I want to travel for a month and a half. I still don't know where. But I'm definitely going to need your financial support to make that happen. So I just want to get you on board. I'm going to do my part. I just need to make sure that, you know, you can support me with it. We go all in. And my parents have, I appreciate the fact on them that they don't give me anything in an easy way, as good or as bad as some people might perceive it. But they've always raised us to the notion of you have to earn it, or at least you have to showcase that you put in the effort to do it. And so what I did, I finished second year of university. I worked for 3 months as a travel consultant, an online travel consultant. And then I didn't save up enough money, so I had to work part-time with university. And again, I'm extremely competitive, so I just had to excel at both in my mind. And so that part of life where you go on a shift from 12 to 6, and then you have classes starting at 8, so you have breakfast in between, and just all of that, like looking back at it, it's one of the best moment, periods of my life. During it, it was horrible, but yeah. And so I think that whole process was very full of learning about myself and the capacity that you can go with.
And I love your parental philosophy about earning it. So in life, nothing's given to you for free. You need to earn it. And that's a very clear philosophy.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what's funny? By the time I had to apply and I had to buy the flight tickets and all of that, Egypt just went through kind of a devaluation, kind of economical thing. And so all of the money that I saved, let's say it equaled 10 US dollars, suddenly, overnight, it became two or became three.
Yes.
And so I told my parents, like I told them, I'll get 50% of the money. I'll just need the other 50%. At that time, I didn't even have like 30% of the money, but they still fully sponsored it, if you want to call it that way. Because again, they saw you put in the effort, you deserve it.
That's such a good mantra. You put in the effort, you deserve it. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, it's something that we've all been raised on.
And so, Do you have siblings as well, Amar?
I have three sisters.
Ooh.
One, I'm an uncle, so I have an older sister and then two younger ones.
One of my favorite Chekhov plays is The Three Sisters. So you just fired up all sorts of theatrical synapses in my brain. Sorry, back to you, three sisters.
Yeah. So yeah, three sisters. But yeah, other than that, back to India.
Sorry, tangent.
It's because there's like a lot of interesting dynamics, as you have with three sisters.
I just have to ask you, where do you fit in the four children?
In the middle of the pack. So I have one older than me and then two younger than me. And so yeah, I paused for a bit because there's a lot of interesting dynamics, a lot of changes in our family. One of them is working. One of them just became a mother. One of them just got out of high school. So it's, yeah, life besides life. India, I was going for a volunteering project. It was teaching underprivileged children, if you can say that. And two things happened. First of all, the project was supposed to go for 6 weeks. It just went on for 10 days, okay, in a good way. And it just got canceled midway. But I think those 10 days were kind of enough to make me see things that have incredibly been impactful, an incredible sense of inequality that I've seen. And again, by the way, if you want to call India a third world country, Egypt is also a third world country. So I'm not throwing shit at anyone. I've seen in India what I've seen in Egypt, but it's different when you see it in a different context, in an international context. That kind of, left a mark in me till now, where I said, you know what? I want to work in kind of that field, that space, because I think there's a lot of work that can be done. And again, it's a problem that's not going to be fixed in any of our lifetimes. It's something that's continually growing, but hopefully you can build a base that someone can then build on it. So
you have a profound lens on perspective as well there, because you described the devaluation of the Egyptian currency before you went, and then the perspective with then describing somebody else as being underprivileged in that moment. So it's a wonderful lesson perspective.
And at the end of the day, I think like all of us, it's me and you speaking, we're like the top 10% of the world in terms of a lot of things that you might take for granted. So I think just that perspective is really important to take into consideration. A good thing about what happened in India after 10 days is that I got to travel a lot more in the country. So I spent 6 weeks, but I went to 9 cities in those 6 weeks. So instead of traveling on weekends, every 2 days I was in a different city.
And was that spontaneous itinerary based on you suddenly got given time back to you? Yeah.
And what happens with Isaac is that you're a group of people that you get to meet. And if you click and you travel together and all of that. And it was like something that we all agreed on. Like, I remember one instance where we're at a hostel and we're like sitting in the main room and we're saying, you know, we want to go to Kerala. We want to go like cities in India. And like some guy in the background, you know what? I have a house in, I don't know, Mussoorie or Rishikesh, something like that. It's like one of those Indian millionaires that, I don't know, has been right place, right time. So yeah, I have a cabin, it's in the woods, it's by the river, and you can join me and pay nothing. 48 hours later, I went with him, we all went with him. He's a very dear friend of mine, he's called Manoj. We traveled together then, and since then he's been with us. I think that kind of exposure, seeing different parts of India, like anyone who's been to India knows India is huge. People go 3-4 times in their lifetimes just to finish a portion of it. Mm-hmm. And I've seen the highs of the highs and the lows of the lows. Having that mixed with a group of people from Spain, Greece, Mauritius, Slovakia, all of that, it just adds layers and layers to the experience.
Yes.
And so by far, like when I came back from India, it impacted the major that I wanted to go in university. It impacted the kind of career that I'm looking into because I said education. And then I thought, what's the closest thing to education in a corporate perspective? Learning and development.
Yeah.
So India by far is number one without any comparison.
It's a seismic depth of personal self-awareness and realization which brings you to on your journey to now. It's wonderfully informative as to why you stand where you do now on the cusp of LBOX and its launch.
Yeah.
Wonderful shapages so far. Any other shapages you'd like to do before we get on to influencers?
Definitely the Saudi experience. Like I spent a few years in Saudi when I was younger. My father used to work there. Again, it just added the sense of appreciating culture and appreciating diversity. There are a few things that you take into for granted, such as English. Just to be fluent in another language is not easy. So if I'm speaking English now, it's because of Saudi and all of my teachers were non-Arabic speakers and Saudi has been big. Running, we definitely talked about running a lot. And last but not least, I think definitely the year 2021, my ex-company was called Raya. I think it was like mid-COVID. So I think 2021 just has been like an awful year, if I want to call it that way. Like all of our family, no exclusions, got COVID. And that's, as you know, that puts a layer of pressure on taking care of your mom, of your father, of your sisters and so on. But then there's work and there's life.
Yeah.
I think also on a family level, there's been like a lot of changes. You know, Egypt every other day, they were doing some new changes when it comes to a new decision. And that decision has impacts. And so it's just been an awfully difficult year. And it's been the first year at work where I was given the responsibility to lead the corporate lens of L&D, and that my previous company had 12 lines of businesses, 12,000 employees. And at 24, that was an exposure that really made a difference. And looking back at it, it's been a really unique year.
A test of resilience at the very core, but also a land of opportunity.
100%. 100%. Like I figured out upon reflecting on it after it was done that I don't get the best out of me unless it's very challenging. Like I remember there was a particular instance in that year where we had like a community learning and development call with all of our lines of businesses. And we had to share with them what's in plan for next year and so on. And by that time, we haven't started anything. That was June. And I remember like I told them in that call, and one of my biggest regrets is that I didn't record that call. I told them, believe me, we're going to have the same call at the end of the year and it's going to be the best year for L&D historically in the company and you're going to see. Because everyone was kind of like, we haven't started this, where's that? It happened eventually. And so I wanted to show them, it's the final meeting of the year, let's start with the video. But it didn't quite happen. Yeah. Yes,
but you've said it now and it's there on record because obviously we're here talking through a PwC lens as well. Fantastic.
Yeah. 100%. And also, I think it's always important to give credit to people. And I think in that year, a lot of people helped with how the year turned out to be. I think three people, I also have to mention them, Hazem Abdelhadi and Sundus, Arafa and Mirna Ibrahim. They were like the people I worked with and the leadership I worked with. And to this day, we maintain a very close relationship, although I left the company almost 2 years ago because the respect is always there and the appreciation is always there. If I mention 2021, I also have to mention them as well.
Wonderful. You're a wonderful testament to what's meant for you won't pass you by, being in the right place at the right time. And then when you said a couple of paragraphs, I only get the best out of myself when I'm under extreme pressure. Yeah. That plays into your running discipline, the pain-gain ratio.
Yeah.
Wonderfully wise stuff. Okay, now we're on to, if there's any overlap, don't worry, but three things that inspire you.
Three things that inspire. Look, I'm not going to get political, but I have to mention, I hope that's okay. I think with everything that's happening around the world right now, everything that's happening in Palestine and all of that, I think people are always inspirational. Resilience. You might think you're strong because of the experiences you went through, but I always think like, there's layers to it that you can't possibly imagine. I think just we're at a time where we get visibility and accessibility to things that we normally wouldn't have had the chance to. I think definitely everything that's happening with Palestine, I just related back to myself, how can I help? And it all feeds into that sense of education, which is I really need to speed up having an impact in education, because then if I do that, the situation might get better, these people might benefit from it, and all of that stuff wouldn't be happening. So I think definitely the story of Gaza and Palestine and all of that, it's inspiring. The two other things, and in no way are they, I'm not ranking them, but I'd have to say two and three are my parents, 100%. Like in Egypt, there's Cairo, there's the capital city, and there's a lot of governorates around it. the countryside. Yeah. And so if I speak of my father, for example, my father went from a countryside, a country called Almenia. And then like every day, he keeps telling me stories. I don't know. I went to Jordan last year. He told me, yeah, I went there and I spent like a year and a half. And I was like, I didn't know that. He went to Libya. Yeah, he went to Saudi and all of that. I think he just took a leap of kind of, I don't want to call it progression, but he did something different at a time in the 70s and the 60s where that wasn't the norm. In the 70s and 60s, it was like, keep the family business, keep the land, and that's it. The transition that my father did from there to here is in difficulty or in scale is similar to if I became an Elon Musk. It's incredibly difficult, incredibly, because not a lot of people around you are doing it.
That's a wonderful opportunity to just tell him that, because it sounds like he's always kept surprising you.
Yeah, 100%. And definitely my mother, like my mother, again, changing countries, going to a different, transitioning from Cairo to Saudi and all of that. Like our generation, generally in Egypt, my father's generation, there's been a lot of kind of immigration to the Gulf, similar to what's happening now, by the way. Mm. But the difference now is the Gulf is definitely more open internationally. But before that, it was everyone going to Saudi, everyone, even the UAE wasn't a thing back then. So I think the kind of care and the kind of attention and perspective that she always provided is not there. She's a brilliant business individual. Like before settling down and being a housewife and all of that, she used to have her own career. And even after that, she used to have her kind of own business. And every time when we were talking and she used to tell me, you know, I'm thinking about making this item cost that much because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm telling her, no, let's look at the market and let's see how things are. She's telling me, you know, I actually did. I actually walked down the street and I saw everything that's around us. And that's how I came to that conclusion. And at the end, her assumption always works out. And so I think she's always had that kind of commercial sense besides being a mother. And yeah, definitely that she's done wonders.
And you've mentioned a lot of geography and place names where your mom, your dad, and where you've been. Can I just ask you a slightly curious question? In terms of your geography, do you feel in the right place at the right time doing the right thing? Or do you have ambitions and plans to go a bit to elsewhere?
Yeah. So here's the thing. For me, it's all about learning and context. So if I see myself learning in the current context in Egypt and where I'm at, I'm going to stay here. With that being said, I know the kind of things that I want to do. Not necessarily Egypt is going to be the best kind of takeoff point for it.
Yeah.
It's definitely other places. And so that's always been, and that always will be on the radar. Yeah, it's difficult, but I have no problem relocating, doing all of that. Again, I'm young and maybe in 5 years when I have a family and all of that, it would change. So I don't, right now, I think I'm in the right place in life. But if you're asking me, how do you see the next 2 years happening? I think there's definitely a lot of healthy changes that need to happen.
Wonderful. Yeah. And I hope this is a springboard to anything is possible.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with Nasal Guard for pet lovers. Nasal Guard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try Nasal Guard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And
you
now,
never know. Yeah.
Two things that never fail to, squirrels, what never fail to grab your attention, irrespective of anything else that's going on for you in your very eclectic and hectic life.
Daniel, what I'm going to say is going to make sense given the context. Number one is challenge. If there's something challenging, it's like, let's go. Because like I've been in an interview before where the interviewer was asking me, tell me, Muhammad, tell me about the time where you lost. I told her, I don't lose. And she was speaking in English for 45 minutes and then she switched to Arabic because she was like, what do you mean you don't lose? I was like, no, I either win, or I told her, as cliche as it may sound, I either win or I either learn. Because that's it. As cliche, I honestly, that's how I see things. I either win or I either learn. I see myself as a fair competitor. Let's level the playing field and then let's talk. So I think a challenge is always something that I'm drawn to because it just brings a different part of my personality to it.
What a great squirrel. I win or I learn. I love that.
Yeah,
we're getting on to quotes later on, but that was great. Yeah. So second squirrel.
Second squirrel, I think an inspiring vision or a goal. Since 2017, I don't want to exaggerate, but I don't want to say every single day I wake up with the idea of, all right, where am I towards the path of education and making an impact. Maybe every other day, I don't know. but I think it's always been there. And I'm always drawn to people who have a certain passion towards something that they see clearly and that is concrete. Be spontaneous, but in a certain area around it. And I think a lot of people, they have a certain vision towards something that because they're necessarily passionate about it. And there's like an analogy I always like to say, which is choosing what you want to focus on is like, in ways, it's like choosing a wife. I don't have a wife, so maybe I will figure it out if that's true or not. Yeah. But I think a big deal of choosing what you want to work on is because you choose to, not because you necessarily love it or passionate about it. It's because there's that sense of, I'm ready now. Let's go for it. This is a worthwhile thing. And I think to marriage, that you find a partner that, yeah, ideally love is there and all of that, but there are a lot of things that are in that individual that blend well with you. So it's a choice. It's a feeling, but it's definitely a choice. I think, choosing a vision, choosing a goal, finding someone that has clarity on all of these things is very rare.
Spontaneity, and yet with structure.
Structure, yeah.
That plays very well into my love of, I do a lot of comedy improvisation with that mindset of yes and, yes and, yes and, but it's still, it's very creative, but with structure. Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
And now, the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you, Amar, we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us.
I've been thinking about the question for a while. That's a good question. The whole structure is amazing, but I've been thinking about it. I'm extremely spontaneous to a degree that might be irresponsible for some people, but for me, it really doesn't matter. I was traveling like a mini Euro trip like 2 years ago. And I was speaking with my friend. I was telling her, skydiving looks like a really interesting activity to go in. And she was like, yeah, I know. The Czech has the cheapest skydive options. Just Google it. 30 minutes later, I found myself booking a slot in Sevilla, Spain for a skydive. So I think I love spontaneity in a certain context of traveling and experiments in life. Like another example was like a friend of mine called me just last year in March. He was telling me, it was Monday, 8 p.m. He was telling me, what are you doing on Wednesday? I was telling him nothing. And then he told me, I have everything figured out. Let's go to Lebanon. Let's go. And I love the idea of let's just go in 48 hours. We're going to be someplace else. I told him, yeah, I'll get back to you tomorrow morning. 30 minutes later, I just texted him on WhatsApp, like, let's go. So I think spontaneity, I might seem very logical. I might seem like everything has to go by plan. But something that people might not realize is that just come up with something crazy, reasonably, if that makes sense, because skydiving is not reasonable and working a day and spending a week in another country might not be as reasonable for a lot of people.
But, it's trusting your instinct of, yes, let's do it. If it sounds like it makes sense, yes, let's do it. It also plays beautifully into that comfort, risk, panic, those three concentric circles. You're not comfortable just being comfortable and sedentary. You've got to be risking.
Yeah, 100%. It's like, and you're living it. You're not going to be in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. Like every age has a certain benefit of doing activities in it. Yeah. And if you have the opportunity to do it, just do it.
There's a lovely joke about skydiving being the ultimate commitment, because once you've jumped out, on balance, it's quite difficult to get back in again. Yeah. So you've got to be sure that you've committed. We have shaken your tree majestically. Yes. Fantastic. Yes. Now we stay in your clearing, which is in your wonderful running scape of the marathons of life when you're only competing with yourself. And now we're going to talk about alchemy and gold, which, by the way, you've been giving me by the bucket load anyway. But when you're at purpose and in flow, Amar, what are you absolutely happiest doing in what you're here to reveal to the world?
I think I'm always drawn to solving problems, but looking at them from a bigger picture. So even if in a very micro scale of work, if we're designing a program, what does that entail? What do we have to take into consideration? What sort of alignments do we need to get? When I'm mentally stimulated, I feel at best like that I'm going to get sidetracked. I'm not going to do that. But I feel at best when I'm mentally stimulated. And I think even when you relate that to the kind of track that eventually I want to go on, which is education, is just absolutely terrible. Like when I tell you, when I ask you what's quality in education, you might think quality in content, accessibility, instruction, a lot of things, technology, that's not there. And so I think I'm at my best when I have a situation, I have to think about how to best improve it and ideally achieve a certain result. In a micro scale, that may be at work. In a macro scale, I'm always drawn to the kind of big.
I was going to say micro, macro, because it's a micro problem, but with a macro lens. Somebody I interviewed recently, rather profoundly, he's an American chap called Stan Slack, talked about huge problem solving, but he just puts, he has a 25-foot brainstorming board with an equal sign that he does. And then he just puts the micro thing that we're solving, and then all the equation goes on the left-hand side of the equal sign. So it's just quite a nice metaphor for micro, macro problem solving.
100%,
Wonderful alchemy and gold. And now I'm going to award you with a cake. So, yes, I don't know if you like cake, Amar. Would you say you do?
Yeah, carrot cake is...
That is a bit of a dog's toy, carrot cake. That's most like carrot. So now you get to put a cherry on the cake. It's a suffused with storytelling metaphor, as the whole show is. But what's a favorite inspirational quote that's always given you succor and pulled you towards your future?
My manager, and she always had a quote of, aspire to inspire before you expire, something like that. It's not necessarily my favorite quote, but
nobody's
it's
ever
the
said
one
that
I remember.
Say it again. No one's ever said that. I love it immediately.
Yeah. So aspire to inspire before you expire. Yeah, that's the one.
Let's drop the mic. Thanks for coming. Yeah. That's all we need. Brilliant quote. Now, what's the best piece of advice you have ever been given, Amar?
Pick your battles. I think with every single person, you see a lot of things that you want to work on. They see a lot of issues that you want to be a part of and resolve. It's very important to choose wisely where do you invest your energy, where do you invest your focus. And yeah, I'd say pick your battles in corporate, in life. That's a strong one. Yeah.
With the gift of hindsight, just say how old you are today with everything in front of you. How old are you today?
How old do you think I am?
I'm thinking 28, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's 28, spot on,
Phew. With the gift of hindsight, what notes, help, or advice might you offer to a younger version of yourself?
I'll tell a story, and I'll possibly, I don't know how to format that advice. But since India, since 2017, up to 2022, I've always had that India experience as the number one. Nothing comes close to it. And so I've disregarded opportunities and experiences that from outside, for me, you know, it's not as big as India, so I'm not going to go for it. And that led to a lot of things that I could have been a part of, but I haven't necessarily been. So that's something that an experience is great, but just go and find out. Just go and be indulged in different things. That's something. And the other thing I would say that's a bit related to it, which is I've always said that after I graduate, I'm going to take a year off and I'm going to go and volunteer and become an English teacher. And actually, last year I was about to do it and go to Vietnam and a lot of things. But because that goal was always there, I didn't, again, maximize the current situation that I have. I think just, it's cliche, be in the moment, if that makes sense. I don't like to say it, but just try to be fully aware of the context and make the best use of it.
Lovely answer. And we're ramping up to Shakespeare, finally, in a moment to talk about legacy and how you'd most like to be remembered. But just before we get there, this is the pass the golden baton moment, please. So now you've experienced this from within, who would you most like to pass the golden baton along to in order to keep the golden thread of the storytelling going?
Mo Ash. So Mo, I'd like to call him a friend, has been someone that's been extremely inspiring to look at his story, transitioning from corporate, doing his own thing, and actually doing it with a different lens and with a different taste and quality. That's really important. Mo Ash has a lot to bring. People have a lot to learn from him. He definitely he can share a lot. And if he can come on the show, that would be amazing.
Thank you. And now, inspired by Shakespeare and all the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players, this is the Seven Ages of Man speech from the play. How, when all is said and done, Amar, would you most like to be remembered?
Yeah, that's something that I've actually been incorporating when I introduce myself to someone. If it's an interview type of thing, I don't like to say, I work at PwC. No, I say, Amar, I like to travel and I run. And I always say, by the time everything is said and done, I'll be one of the top influencers in education in history. Call it, I developed a new theory. Call it, I helped increase the quality in education. I leveled the playing field. So that's the thing that I want to be remembered by. I've done a lot of work in that space. And hopefully people come and build on it.
Thank you so much for gifting us with your presence here in the Good Listening To show. Where can we find out all about you and LBOX on the internet or on LinkedIn?
So I'm actually the platform I'm most active on is LinkedIn. So on LinkedIn, you can find me as Muhammad Ibrahim Amar. Very rare that you find someone just adding their three names, but because there's a lot of Muhammad Ibrahims. So Muhammad Ibrahim Amar. And LBOX, we just launched episode number one with the talented Mr. Ahmed Safina last Sunday. In about less than 2 weeks, we're going to launch episode number two, and then that's going to carry on. Every 2 weeks, there's a new episode. You can find LBOX on Instagram, on LinkedIn, as L.box, and it stands for the Learning Box. So yeah, give us a follow. It's an interesting project, and if you're there from the get-go, it's going to be different.
And just to check my understanding, I think at some point you're going to interview me. Is that right? I can't remember.
Yes, of course. Yes. So definitely, here's the thing. Like with LBOX, initially with season one, we're always drawn to the idea of how different experiences, or I'd say different backgrounds, shape who you are today. And so I'm quoting you being a motivational comedian, an actor, plus entrepreneur, plus trainer. That all comes in a way into the Good Listening To show or Second Curve. So I think you're definitely, if we were to draw out a person that with certain characteristics, it would be you. So yeah, we're definitely going to have that at some point.
Wonderful. As this has been your moment in the sunshine in the Good Listening To show, Stories of Distinction and Genius, Brand Strand Founder Stories, is there anything else you'd like to say, Amar?
Just a big thank you to you. I think that the structure of the show, the kind of flow, and we've talked about this a bit, the branding of it and how it's positioned, the kind of guests that you're bringing on board is different. I learn a lot from you, honestly. The website is spot on. And I'm looking forward to the next guests.
Wonderful. Thank you reciprocally to you. And thank you for the mention. Check out the goodlisteningtoshow.com website. It's just relaunched live again as of yesterday. Lots of explainer videos as to how you too can get involved if you'd like to be my guest. But thank you for watching on LinkedIn if you have been too. This has been the wonderful Amar Muhammad Ibrahim with a nickname yet to be discovered. And so anything else you'd like to say?
Thank you. Thank you, Chris.
You've been listening to The Good Listening To show with me, Chris Grimes. If you'd like to be in the show too, or indeed gift an episode to capture the story of someone else with me as your host, then you can find out how, care of the series strands at the goodlisteningtoshow.com website. And one of these series strands is called Good Books. If you've always wanted to write your autobiography, but have always got a bit stuck, then maybe Good Books and The Good Listening To show can help. Using the unique structure of the show with me, Chris Grimes, as your host, together we can take a trip down memory lane as we record the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 of your life story, all set in the clearing or serious happy place of your choice. So yes, get in touch if you'd like some help in writing your very own good book in the form of your autobiography, the story behind the story of being you. Tune in next week for more stories from the clearing, and don't forget to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts.